Hi there, I'm Ankush. I'm founder at Eventable.com, the world's first review platform. Today I have with me Victoria Mehti of Mehti Events. Hi, Victoria.
Hello.
Victoria is an event planner, turned event consultant, author, speaker, and content creator. Her specialty and what we will be learning about today is the application of scientific findings on human behavior and psychology to event design. Getting into your attendees' heads at a time like this, where there is so much change going on, has got to be invaluable. So keep watching as we unravel some fascinating layers of event psychology and how that can help you design better event experiences. Thanks for joining in, Victoria.
Thank you for having me.
Victoria, quickly, before we begin, we are now at an interesting time where we've seen the rise of virtual events as the pandemic took hold. And then came the Zoom fatigue. And now after all the mass vaccination programs around the world, we're talking about reopening and going back to in-person events. How have you, sort of been processing all this?
Obviously, the requirements and expectations change at rapid pace right now. And moreover, the level of uncertainty is very high right now. So I think the event planners, me including, have to deliver and to deal with, things under pretty tough conditions. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we know that the budgets got smaller. The teams lost their members, and overall, the burnout and stress are those limiting factors when it comes to improving the quality of the event or creating out-of-the-box solutions, right? So, and I think that this is yet another reason why it's critical for event planners to embrace approaches that work better under these new circumstances, and those approaches that can help solve all these challenges at once, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, that's true, Victoria. I agree with that. For everybody watching, we can just jump into, learning more about how you came, to be in the field of event psychology. I find it really fascinating, and I've read so many of your interviews and articles, and, I just can't get enough of it. So let's just, sort of jump in there and, and explain to our audience that's watching, what are some of the things that they can take away?
Yes, of course. That would be my pleasure. Well, you know what? It's interesting. At my first university, I studied psychology as a side field, and I wrote a thesis on cognitive linguistics, combining two disciplines. And since then, and during my time at work in events, I've been researching and reading a lot about psychology and neuroscience. And somewhere along the way, I got this insight that events is the most people's business ever, meaning that it's all about how we think, learn, communicate, and that if we understand people better, that is how they make decisions, right? And what drives their actions. We would be able to fine-tune our practices based on solid science and on solid proof rather than just gut feeling, right? And I started doing what I call translation from the science language to events language. And I'm researching behavioral science concepts and tools and analyze how they can be used by event planners and event industry partners to solve challenges that they may face. And what I love about it is that it provides us with creative and often low-cost solutions.
Right. No, I think, neuromarketing itself is attracting so much interest from marketers today. And I think this is a really great niche, to really apply these principles to event marketing and see how you can, design better events and a better experience for attendees. So I'm all ears. Are you going to share something with us?
Yes, I do have something to show. I wanted to share some quick tips. And let me just start this. So... You know, as I said, I've been doing the consulting and teaching on event psychology for a while right now. And what I want to highlight again is that if you want to increase attendance and make the learning more effective, or if you want to make the experiences more memorable and engaging, you need to understand how it works inside our minds. Because, you know, experiences happen inside our heads, right? Not outside. And with all the information overload that we have, by some estimates, by the way, adults are exposed to around 3,000 messages a day on average. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
It's like,
right?
I think, you know, one of the words I heard sometime back to describe it is like content shock. You know, we are living in a world of, you know, there's just so much.
Yeah,
being thrown at us. Yeah,
absolutely. That's great definition. But plus, you know, all the fatigue, both from online and offline, that we have distractions, now restrictions of all kinds. So with all the that, how do you make people decide in your favor? Buy a ticket or show up for a free event or promote the event within their network? How do you convince them to come back? How do you impress them? How do you make them focus? How do you prevent non-helpful behavior and guide people in the right direction? And this is where understanding how people think and behave is critical. Even some basic understanding and knowledge can produce amazing results. And that is why I'm helping event planners and event tech providers apply such knowledge to their event planning practices and services. And I, as I said, you know, I teach and speak about what I call event psychology. So now let me share a few examples of how event psychology and scientific insights on human behavior can make a huge difference. So my first example is about adding breaks to the event agenda. I regularly review event concepts and agendas, and I've been arguing for adding breaks to the agenda like since forever, you know. But somehow it's not a common practice yet. I mean, things are better now since the pandemic changed everything. We went online and people realized how bad Zoom fatigue is for their events. But I was recently reviewing the online agenda for the client, and I noticed that once again, there were no breaks. And the client argued that the event was only 3 hours long. But to me, it only proved that they are not aware of how brains work and what a devastating effect not taking breaks can have on attendees' learning, satisfaction, and consequently on their decision to return. And I'm sure, Victoria,
that this has also got to do with the attention span, right? Your attention span has to be limited. You can't just keep sitting in a room for 3 hours and, you know, most people
absolutely
would just
go down. And I mean, you know, we had this problem before the pandemic, but the pandemic just highlighted it, you know, and brought it to a new level because people realized that it's real, you know, the problem is real. But, you know, somehow what I see is that it's not, as I said, you know, it's not a common practice yet. But if the event organizers knew what some studies showed, they would have added breaks long ago. And just let me show you how science and studies back it up. This is the latest research by Microsoft. You see the screenshot from the study, from the research, and it literally shows what happens in our brains during non-stop virtual meetings. Without a break, people are doomed to get more stressed and lose focus. Taking breaks improves engagement and concentration significantly, as you can see.
Wow, that's a huge...
Exactly, yeah. But moreover, it doesn't cost you a lot to make such a tiny change, right? But it does have a huge impact on the event outcomes. The second example is about post-event communications. And this is the study results in which people were asked personality test questions on the Likert scale. And at the same time, their non-conscious reactions were measured. And as you can see, it's amazing that it's clear that what they say you know, in reply to the questions, and how they really feel about the questions don't match. So a variety of other studies demonstrate how careful we should be about market research and surveys and so on. It has to do with how our memory works too, because people remember on average only 10% of the information they consume after 48 hours. So, you know, we need to take that into account when we when we ask questions on post-event, right? We also tend to remember better what happens at the end of the experience. That would something that we also need to consider.
Yes.
And so it's really important to know when and what questions to ask to get the answers that you can draw on.
Right.
The lack of such knowledge leaves you in the dark, and sending out post-event surveys, you know, doesn't really help, because you may collect answers, but their reliability will be questionable. And anyway, you know, another quest is to get those answers, because, you know, people are hesitant to share feedback. So you have to be creative to persuade them and to know how to do that, right? And I can give one science-based tip that is extremely helpful and extremely simple and proven to be effective. You just change the word survey to word advice. See, because, I mean, just this tiny change increases the quality of the feedback, because the studies show that people feel more like on the same level of expertise with those who ask those questions, and they feel like they're special because they are asked for advice, and this is how they are more likely to provide the quality feedback.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, I think I'm going to, in fact, make a note of that and probably try that out for our own platform.
Yes.
Never occurred to me.
Please do. And we can discuss it afterwards, you know, the results and how that affect the outcomes.
Yes.
And the third example is about social proof concept. And I have this funny, you know, picture here. But actually, you know, there was one interesting experiment run in 1968 by psychologist Milgram, Bickman, and Berkowitz. They conducted a study which was later called the street corner experiment. So first, they asked one person to stand on a street corner and stare at the sky for 60 seconds. Most of passers-by ignored him. Then researchers repeated the experiment with five men. When five men gazed at the sky, 18% of passers-by also looked up.
Wow.
When the researchers asked 15 people to look in the sky upwards, 45% more pedestrians stopped to join them. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So this is just one of a number of experiments that demonstrated the power of social proof. And I can say that this is the most researched behavioral bias, which shows that we look to others to validate our behavior, especially if we are in a situation of uncertainty, which is, again, very valid these days, you know. And social proof is a super powerful concept.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure, I'm sure you encounter it, you know, almost on an everyday basis, right?
Every day, and,
Yeah, I mean, we all are encountering it. So I think marketers have been using it for long, and some event organizers too. But still, it has been more of a, again, gut feeling based usage than intentional application. And until today, there were not smart tools and platforms like the ones that we have today. So I think now it's the time to start using it and be more intentional about it. Because if done right, it can be a powerful tool for promoting and enticing the audience to your event. And it's great, you know, it's great to see that Eventable gives such an opportunity, right? Because, you know, we don't have a lot of such tools yet. So these are my three examples of how some event challenges can be solved with design back tools. And again, as I said, you know, I work with both event planners and providers on a variety of things. And I also have the online course on event psychology that covers some most interesting behavioral science concepts and includes practical recommendations and examples of how the scientific insights can be applied. So I encourage, you know, our listeners visit meti.events for resources and also eventpsychology.thinkific.com for the online course. And if you have any questions, just do get in touch. I'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Thanks, Victoria. I think, you know, that really gave like a sneak peek or like a window, you know, into what event psychology is, how it works, how you can really start to design better event experiences. And I, you know, I'm sure that this is just the tip of the iceberg and that, you know, there is so much more. You know, unfortunately, we just don't have the time today to cover a lot more. But as Victoria said, if you're interested, just head over to her website, get in touch with her, contact her, and, you know, just run with it. I think it's a fascinating concept. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned social proof. You know, a couple of years back, when I, you know, when I was actually thinking about the ideas that led to me starting this platform, Eventable, you know, I had no idea about event psychology. I didn't even know it was a thing, right? And my main motivation was that, you know, I had traveled a long way to get to the Dreamforce event in San Francisco, California, which, you know, as you know, every year is put up by Salesforce. And, you know, before I got there, I wasn't able to read any reviews, you know, and I was curious, you know, what are marketers like me thinking?
Right.
Why aren't there any reviews about this event?
Right.
And we live in an economy today, which is so review driven. You know, before you order a pizza, you know, you order a book on Amazon, you read reviews, you know, you go to a holiday, you look up a hotel review on TripAdvisor.
And going on the other side of the world, right?
Going on the other side of the world. And, you know, we are living in a world filled with these where you're continuously asked to rate and review things. You know, so my big question was, you know, why not events, right? Why can't people make participation decisions for events by reading peer reviews? It just makes so much sense, right? Especially, you know, the cost of events before the pandemic for the live events was going up to $1,500, $2,000. And it was bizarre that, you know, you just couldn't read reviews and you had to make the decision off a very limited set of data that was presented to you. Right. So that was really the motivation, you know, for starting my platform. And, you know, it meshes so well with the concept of social proof that you've been talking about, you know, and that's what I found, you know, pretty remarkable when I first, you know, came across your body of work, et cetera. I said, you know, now it all just fits in, you know, what Victoria has been saying, you know, what we've been trying to do now, you know, there is some verbiage around it.
Yeah.
You know, and let me just share a couple of slides, you know, for the folks watching so they have a better idea of what it is that we're doing and how it can help them take forward some of the concepts being mentioned here by Victoria. So Victoria, as you know, Eventable is the name of our platform. And what we've been trying to build since the last couple of years really is the TripAdvisor for events, right? A review platform. We are now the world's first review platform for events. And it's pretty easy to think of it as a TripAdvisor, right? It's very simple. We invite and solicit reviews from attendees, from speakers, sponsors, in the hope that future attendees might want to refer to them. You know, so we started out addressing a couple of problems. One is how do attendees discover events today, right? And we found that that process is fairly broken. Most people learn about new events, you know, either through something that pops up on their LinkedIn feed or their Facebook feed, or they come across an advertisement somewhere, you know, or it's a word of mouth thing, and you know, when a friend says, or a water cooler conversation when someone mentions that, you know, you might want to check out this event. So there is no efficient framework in place. It, you know, it's not a very intentional activity, right? It's very ad hoc. It's very random. You know, it's very cluttered. And people aren't really aware that there might be a better event for them around the corner, right? And they don't have a framework to find these events. And on the other side, event profs, event marketers, and organizers are spending money on advertising, you know, on marketing campaigns. And that money necessarily is not always translating into long-term brand value. Right, it's a very transactional, short-term thing. You know, you want attendees, you spend some money here. But the question is that how can an event organizer really start to think about building a long-term brand, right? And that's you know, that's where the importance of reviews and social proof, you know, that's where it really comes in. And this is why we really built Eventable from the ground up to address some of these concerns, right? So as I mentioned before, we are a review platform. We allow attendees, speakers, and sponsors to provide reviews of their event experiences. And quite simply, these reviews then help the events get scored, algorithmically scored, and then rank for a certain category, right? So very simple. So the good events surface to the top, right? And it helps them then attract, the audience. Here's a couple of the things that we provide at the back end. Event organizers can download ratings badges for their particular events, put them on landing pages, and the event sites. So basically what you want to say is that, we are not the only ones saying that, we put on a great show. Our attendees are saying it, right? That's social proof. That's social proof, and it's coming from a third-party neutral site. And that's very, very powerful, right? And we've built an entire backend for event organizers to operate on their own. It's very simple. In one place, they have an idea of how the events are doing, how they're being perceived by people, and they can take control of the entire brand, the entire exercise, right? So ultimately, and quite simply, if you've done the hard work and you've put on a great show, you want to get the word out,
right?
Absolutely. If you're an event organizer, you want to get the word out, right?
Yes.
And which is what we've really built Eventable to do. So you start by creating your account on Eventable, you work with us to source the reviews, and then you just let the magic happen, right? Mm-hmm. Finally, you take these little badges, you put them back on your websites, and you start showing your community, you start showing your audience, you start showing the world that this is really what our attendees think about us. Mm-hmm. We've been rated highly for networking. We've been rated highly for learning and development. We're the number one event in our category. And it's not just us saying it. It's our attendees who've sort of reviewed us and, rated us, and which has led to us ranking so well. And, I'm happy to really chat with any event organizer watching this right now. Just book a chat with me. I'm happy to take you through the platform in detail. And as you can see, we've got a bunch of event companies and brands already using the platform, right from WBR to Mobile Growth, Informa, AdWorld, Third Door Media. There are some big names who've realized early that reviews are a good thing. Transparency is a good thing, mm-hmm. right? Getting the word out is a good thing. It might not always, every review doesn't have to be positive, right? And just getting the voice of your attendees out there in an authentic way. I mean, that is what is going to help you grow your brand. And that is what is going to help you create a sticky community.
Right.
Right.
Well, I think it's amazing. It solves so many issues on different levels, because this mm-hmm. is a tool where you can both, provide the feel of authenticity and help the event attendees problems. Like mm-hmm. you don't want to commit going, to an event, on the other side of the pond without even knowing what it is about, right? And, paying for the ticket, paying for traveling or, whatever it might be the case. But it definitely helps event attendees, but also it helps event organizers to kind of show their credibility, right? And
I think, what was word of mouth earlier, in the old days, when there was no internet, it has become like an online review now.
Yes.
Right? Because, mm-hmm. Earlier, you would wait for a friend to tell you something and then you would, take that, you would trust that. Simply people want to trust other people. Right. Absolutely. It's as simple as that. And, instead of trusting the word of a friend, they can go online and see what other people like them are saying, what they're thinking. So it's a very simple premise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that, the audience watching today, Victoria, has learned something new, both about Meety events and about Eventable. Please free to get in touch with both of us. If you'd like to continue the conversation, we're always happy to chat. We're both on LinkedIn. Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks a lot for your time, Victoria. Pleasure talking to you as always.
Thank
and
you.
Hope to do it again.
Mine. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was great to see you and to have this chat.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.